arriving. Arriving here and now. Arriving being a choice. Arriving, a choice coming from based on our values, your values. You choose because you value being present. So you choose to arrive. You choose to submit yourself to what's present in the here and now. Mindfulness being brought to the forefront. Mindfulness as a means, as end and end. A cultivation. There arises a feeling of immediacy. One feels the immediacy of the moment. Indicating that one is starting to be present, not perfectly present, not perfectly mindful, but present enough. Directionally grounded. Sometimes there's a kind of sparkle that you realize, wow, I am present. And I say sparkle, I don't know a better word. There's just an aliveness that starts to flash or come as a kind of mist around us. One is present, meaning one is available to know, to directly experience what is arising here and now. Experience not just as a mental recognition, but as a felt sense. Again, this is a preliminary practice. We're recognizing, we're being mindful of capacity, of what matters, of where we're standing to receive experience from. We're not so interested, although, of course, all sorts of experiences are already arising, but our focus is not on those, but on just preparing ourselves, empowering ourselves. Being mindful feels like this. Being present has this tonality in the felt sense. Sometimes this being present develops a felt sense of presence. So we are in a field of presence that allows us to be present, a field of being here and now. We often can get little hints of this, even though there's very little stability. This presence, the kind of presence that said when the enlightened master picks up a cup and has a sip of water, you're awakened. One of the poems, when the nun blows out the candle, she's awakened. This field of presence. Being available, being so totally available as a value. In the walking practice, we were establishing this greater felt sense of being available. In the next one, the next walking practice, we will go a step further. When I start to feel these shifts in consciousness, this empowerment of consciousness that availability allows, my response is of a spontaneous smile. I definitely prefer to be present than not, even if the present moment's pretty yucky. I would still rather be present. Only in present are we alive, fully alive. As we fill our availability, we can reflect and recognize that we have choice because we're present. Choice as to how we're relating, from what perspective we're relating, from what we emphasize. So we're available to choice. Available to choice. Available to choosing. Our vitality, the sense of our life force, is heightened when we have this empowerment. An empowerment of relatedness, of skillful relatedness, of value-based relatedness. Again, my own response is one of a humble gratitude. No more than that. So fortunate. Seems so much harmony. Even a hint of this empowerment is satisfying. Being empowered by being available so that we have a choice of relating. And then there comes this knowing sooner or later that because the mind can go anywhere, to have this much availability would mean we could have that availability to our wanting minds, to our lust, to our idealization in the dependent origination teaching, where we have contact and its pleasantness or its unpleasantness becomes not just a preference, but an idealization, and we take birth and suffering. So this teaching, which can be done formally or can simply be our street of life recognition, my mind can go anywhere and get caught on anything. We recognize the importance of aligning, because otherwise we actually lose our choice that we have cultivated in availability. So it's practical and it's also mysterious. And so we include in the arriving and available this deliberate mindfulness of aligning, of choosing to align. The aligning with the Dhamma is a protection. It's a container. It makes it a practice of practice. I ask that you really open to understanding this as best you are able. The aligning is the container. When we sit on retreat at a retreat center, that sitting together is the container from which whatever arises becomes, as Joseph Goldstein loves to say, the grist for the mill. All the difficulty that arises, a kind of purification. It's very difficult, not impossible, but it's very difficult to get this kind of purification of mind heart without a container. There's an alchemical process involved that is both practical and mysterious. So the aligning is this conscious choice based on our values. We align with the Dhamma in whatever way is appropriate for us. And you may try different ways of aligning for some months before you find what's right for you. And for some people, it varies quite a bit. I encourage staying with one way of aligning as a regular way of doing this, and then let the other ways come up as kind of a surprise to yourself. So we don't go entertaining ourselves in the long term of this practice by looking for other ways to align. But sometimes we just need to, because how we've been aligning is flat. We're not getting that uplifting feeling. So when you align with the Buddha, there's an uplifting. When you align with the Dhamma, there's an uplifting. When you align with the Sangha, this long continuity of lineage of keeping the teachings alive, of which you're now part of keeping the teachings alive, it's uplifting. We're not alone. We're on the human path of looking for liberation, being available for liberation. It's uplifting. Metta, loving kindness, this friendness, is uplifting. It protects us. It inspires us. It's the container, the cauldron. That it's practical, means we can do it just as we are. That it's mysterious is like a clue to be available to all the subtle dimensions of aligning. Always with available and aligning, it's as best I am able, without exception. Humble. And in this humility is our dignity and our integrity. It's as best I am able, here and now, starting where I am, being willing to return to practice when I get lost. This is how I empower availability. This is how I empower alignment. We're not joking around here. This is the nature of practicing practice. Again, for me, it's the wise view, which I translate as wise aspiration, because that comes alive in me more. And wise intention, here and now. The wise intention of the Buddha is that of non-harming, of kindness, and of renunciation. That steadies me moment to moment. I am contained in the moments with all the different things that arise. These three intentions for the moment. Again, practical and mysterious. This uplifting feeling may happen at any moment. It can be so small, so brief that you miss it. There may not be any effect that you notice. There could be quite an energetic effect. It can be more energetic in the whole body, or energetic in the heart space, or the face may be like kind of facelift almost. Or you can just feel that something change in the skull, the brain. Something is literally moving in the skull. Or nothing, particularly. When you feel aligned and available, or available and aligned, it may just be a whiff of it. Or it may again feel like a kind of mist. Or it may be very solid ground. Or it may be a kind of excitement. Where in Kido, it's called Tenshinaga, this heaven and earth. So there is this vertical sense of available and aligned. The spine may feel more at ease. Little things. The eyes may be more soft, even though closed. I will say more later in other meditations. this is a ground of what? A ground of attitude, a ground of perspective, a ground of being organized in our different capacities of consciousness to meet whatever arises through the senses based on things from the past, the present, or the future. We are grounded to meet the three times. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. And we turn our attention to what is arising. Turn our attention as directed by the Satipatthanas for establishing mindfulness. Starting with the body. Not judging the body. Not comparing the body. Not fixing the body, but opening to the direct experience of a kind knowing of the body, a wise relationship to what we feel when we open to the felt sense of the body. Thus, the attitude is value-based. Please, please hear this. It's not a fixing attitude. The body, without even being directed, is feeling loving kindness. It's feeling your feeling attitude, your friendly attitude. From here, we could do body sweeping. You, on your own practice, could do body sweeping with this new understanding of being available and aligning. There arises a feeling of knowing there is a body. The mind is clear, in the direction of clear. Mindfulness is present. The mind is free of discontent and restlessness. Knowing the body is like this. Feeling the earth element and its stillness. Feeling the breath and its movement. Again, we can sometimes get a little too excited because we're not accustomed to being this occupying the body experience. Our consciousness of body manifestation consciousness is so scattered usually that it can be a little too exciting. It throws us a little bit. We get uncertain, maybe uneasy. So we just stay calm and stay with it. If the breath becomes too exciting, we just go back to being with the earth element in the body. If that's too much, we go back to being available and aligned. This ability to find the ground once again can be very important when the practice starts to rapidly deepen at times. And so here we are, embodied, feeling the stillness of the earth element, sitting in the bones with the earth element. Appreciation of this access. And now including and bringing to the forefront the movement of the wind element through breath. We are engaging and collecting and unifying the mind without having to have a single object. We are doing one point after another, but with steadiness, stillness of the knowing. If you will, please notice that the wind element is movement, its major characteristic, not its only characteristic, but its major characteristic is that of movement. So feeling movement, movement is now the object, the felt sense of movement. Spaciousness with feeling this movement. Remember that you are not just available to it, which may be a bit overwhelming right now, but you're also aligned, so you can be spacious. You're just receiving the felt sense of movement. And the breath may change. And what is movement but energy? It's true, isn't it? So we're recognizing the felt sense of energy present in movement, movement of the breath. Directly knowing this energy now, it is our object. It's the primary object. In the stillness of the knowing is this feeling of energy. What is this, this energy? It's the life force itself. Without movement, there is no life. And so we become alive to, awake to, receiving the felt sense of our own vitality. We felt the vitality even in the aligning, even in being available, but now we're feeling it directly as its own experience. Prana, some people would say. Chi or ki, other people would say. The pulse of life, others would say. It this consciousness, this aspect, this dimension of consciousness, the second dimension of consciousness we've now opened to, allows us to feel this vitality. This, the vitality aspect of consciousness, the second body of consciousness. When there's joy, we can feel that joy is vitality. Vitality can bring joy. When the body is rested, we can feel it being empowered with vitality. And when our vitality itself is more present, the body has more a feeling of vitality. And this vitality can, in turn, bring joy. You're available to your whole living experience as best you're able. So easily satisfied, this kind of awakeness, this kind of appropriate sense of being available. Easily satisfied. Why? Because we're in the truth of this moment, in a way that we're aligned with what matters to us. So even the smallest things are alive, have vitality. The Dhamma brings such vitality, and this vital body of consciousness can feel it. Being aligned in the Dhamma. Heart quality, starting right here. From this vital, energetic feeling as our object, we direct and sustain vitaka, vichara, our attention on the emotional aspect, dimension of consciousness, where we realize that part of our life experience, part of our very vitality is in that we're emotional beings, that we're heart-based beings, just like we're physical-based beings. It's really true, isn't it? This, the recognition of this is a kind of mental recognition itself is like uplifting. And then to feel, to actually have a felt sense of this capacity of the heart to care and start to see that our thoughts are generated, occurring more specifically, more accurately, occurring here in this dimension of consciousness as how we're manifest. The emotions and thoughts, just like in the third Satipatthana, awareness of the mind and the mental states and the emotions that accompany the mental states here in its manifest form. So great to be able to care. even great, that we can actually have a felt sense of sadness. How fortunate that we can grieve. If we could not grieve, we could not love. They come as a coin. Available to the emotional consciousness and all the waves of emotion of all sorts that may arise. But this inherent capacity is not defined by any wave of emotion, by any even reoccurring pattern of emotions. That does not define us. It simply does not. It may be characterizing us, but it does not define us. Thus, we are available to what arises and to have a wise relationship to it and to guard our vitality and to see through our physical capacity of consciousness, how these emotions are affecting us. These three are consciousness of the physical body, the vital body, and the emotional body of consciousness work together to make us fully available to the manifest realm of human experience. May I experience the emotional body of consciousness. May I be available to the emotional body of consciousness. This is this capacity. There are some waves of emotion we're quite available to, more than maybe we'd rather be available at times. But this capacity we overlook as a capacity itself so frequently. And maybe you've never thought about it, and that's okay, because now you can. Now you can have a felt sense of it. We're never just the emotion that's arising in the moment. We need wisdom and compassion to deal with all of these different emotions. The Dhamma starts to make so much sense when we see how we're put together. Of course we cling if the mind is not trained. A wave of emotion comes and it's something that we want or we really don't want. So we tighten and we cling. And we think somehow we can control or stop these emotions arising. But they're just being this capacity of life. We don't have to control them. We learn a wise relationship to them. And in that wise relationship, the waves of emotions that do arise start to be transformed, start to be different. Because we're not adding to the suffering. Thus, the importance of being available to the Dhamma. Practical, lawful, and yet mysterious. We start to discover we have choice in this emotional aspect of consciousness. Such an empowerment. Such an empowerment. Not total choice. Again, we're practicing practice. Choice of relating. Sometimes we move away from an emotion because it's not skillful to stay tending to that emotion. This is the wise effort of the Eightfold Path, so clearly stated there with mindfulness and a samadhi, sati and samadhi. The sati and the samadhi being collected and unified, and then the mindfulness allows us to recognize what's wise and recognize what's skillful in the way. What's a skillful, we're wise to know what's a skillful response, and we're able to implement it because we're aligned and available. Do you see how lawful this is? Can you feel it? Trust yourself. As understanding grows, it actually affects our vitality, this dimension of consciousness. We have more vitality because we're not closing ourselves down. We're not guarding. We're not splitting ourselves. We have a calm in meeting that which is not calm. We have a reference. We have a context. The skillful means that we've learned through mindful presence, by being available. So much empowerment. The physical body becomes our companion in a different way. It's such a great register for emotions. It's such a great register for calming, for coming back to stillness. This interplay of physical body and vital body and emotional body, mindful and accepting of all three, seen, felt, tasted, heard, through this felt sense of availability. The mind can become more collected and unified just through this recognition, through the felt sense. Oh, we can relax into the Dhamma. There may not be many thoughts or even many sensations arising. The mind very concentrated. The mind becoming content. Not much is happening, and there you are with the breath as your anchor. And the breath is delightful. And you realize, oh, it's really true. My mind is got this contentment. It doesn't really, it's not moving to anything. It's just not moving. It's not picking anything up. Huh. And that's a little time to be very careful with oneself. One's excitement can, it can look around for something to want. Because we're we are accustomed to wanting. This is the teaching of the dependent origination. It's why the second noble truth happens. So what's it like to not want? You may be filled with wanting right now and go, why is he talking about this to me? Because I'm implanting possibility. Seeds of possibility. Parts of each of us recognize these truths, these experiences. The seeds may sprout later, not now. Or they may have been sprouting the whole meditation. Yes, there's a lot of purification work. But there's also opening to possibility. Many of you have practiced for a long time. But maybe not so much opened to this kind of available, aligned, utilizing the aspects, dimensions of consciousness. So we do, and we see. Later, we're going to turn to seeing the hindrances, that which gets in our way, which undermines us. But now we're opening to possibility. Can you feel the sincerity? Your own practice. It's a blessing, this sincerity. It's an empowerment. It humbles us. It gives us dignity and integrity, this sincerity. Available and aligned as our North Star to keep us in touch with this sincerity, this authenticity of our own practice, both as an embodied physical sense, as a vital sense of life force itself, being aligned in this way, and our heart emotion, our thoughts, having this cultivation. No need to judge ourselves. No need to compare. The Buddha said, not comparing is better than, or worse than, or even the same as. I recently read where Steph Curry, the basketball player that's so well known in that arena, he was talking about his own life and his own feeling of well-being. And he said, comparing robs us of joy. Comparing robs us of joy. I find that to be so true. So when we're aligned and available, we're letting loose of judging and comparing. There is still discernment, but it's not fixing. Discernment leads to a wise and compassionate relationship where things get fixed. But it wasn't from fixing out of greed or out of aversion, but out of wisdom and compassion. Discernment, discernment. The Venerable Sumedho often speaks of this discernment. How much more discernment you may have than you're utilizing. Because there's not been a structure within your field of noticing, your field of grounding yourself, that allows you to really access what you already are as capacity, of what you've already earned in your practice and in your life experience.